Hi, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and this is a podcast on value for money in the public sector, the concept of value for money and how it relates to the public sector. So, what is value for money? What do we mean by value for money, and why is value for money important in the public sector? Well, value for money is often also known as the three E's. That's three words beginning with E. First of which is economy, and then we have efficiency, and then we have effectiveness, the three E's. And public sector organisations are required to achieve value for money so that the public money that's pumped into public sector organisations is used in a value for money way. And public sector organisations are required to have value for money audits. So you get an auditor to go in and audit to see whether or not that value for money has actually been achieved. So I'm going to look at the three E's, each of them in turn, what they mean and how a public sector organisation achieves each of those three E's and therefore achieves its value for money. So first of all, economy. Now, the economy measure looks at the level of inputs that an organisation is using, and it looks how much the organisation has spent on those inputs. And the basic measure is, has the organisation spent more than last year? And we might also, for an organisation, be comparing them to other similar organisations or departments and seeing whether we've spent more or less than those other organisations or departments. So a school might compare its costs of the admin team payroll to another school in a similar area of a similar size. It's very important when you're comparing one organisation to another organisation anywhere. The public sector is no different, that you compare like for like, you compare similar organisations. So if it were schools, they'd have to be in the same sort of social area and so on. Okay, another example would be, let's say, and I'm going to use this example throughout, in a finance team, I'm going to use the finance team example, in the purchase ledger department, I'll use that one throughout, we'd look at the salaries of the finance purchase ledger team and compare to last year and see whether they'd gone up or down, see whether we were achieving input economy, whether we'd got a cheap cost, if you like, of running that purchase ledger team. So the next of the three E's is efficiency. And efficiency looks at how well we use the input resources we add in order to achieve our outputs. And efficiency measures are often measured as an input and output compared to each other. So how many X have we produced per Y? How many output of X have we produced per input of Y? So following on the example we had from last time in the purchase ledger function, we might look at the number of invoices that were processed per purchase ledger clerk. And again, we need a comparison. The measure on its own is no good. We need to compare it against something. So we might compare it against last year's number of invoices per purchase ledger clerk, or we might compare one clerk against another clerk, or we might compare our clerks against another finance team's clerks in another purchase ledger department. Effectiveness is the third of our three E's, and effectiveness focuses on outputs. It looks at whether our outputs actually achieve the aims of the organisation or the department. So we ask the question, have we achieved what we set out to achieve? And again, following our example through from the purchase ledger function, we would look at the number of errors that have been found in the processed invoices. Or we might look at the other side, the more positive side of it, we might look at the number of properly processed invoices that we've managed to produce. So, you know, the three E's, it would be fantastic if they all ran together, if we'd achieved really low input costs, if we'd been really efficient with our processes and we'd processed many more invoices per purchase ledger clerk this year than, let's say, last year. And we'd also had very, very few errors. In fact, fewer errors than we'd had in the past. If those three E's ran together like that, we would be extremely happy. What often happens, though, is they can be contradictory. And the obvious one is if you've got a great economy, so you've reduced the input costs, you end up having poor effectiveness. So you've done something very cheaply, but not very well. as I say, the best outcome is that all three of them run together and all three measures are positive, but there can be some contradictions within those measures. And obviously, the worst outcome is if all three of them are bad, you know. So if you've spent more money on the input, you've not processed as many invoices per clerk, and you've got loads of errors, and that is, you know, a whole system that's not working properly. Applying this to the public sector, many parts of the public sector do not have the control of the profit and loss account. In other words, many parts of the public sector are not producing profit and loss accounts or similar documents, income and expenditure statements. They don't have the discipline of profit in the private sector. In other words, if you're not making a profit, it means you're doing something wrong and you need to change what you're doing. So as a lot of government departments, for example, simply spend money, they don't actually earn any money, they don't have that discipline. And so value for money is a good way of assessing whether they're spending money properly, whether they are achieving the aims that they've been set up to do. So that's why it's a really, really important concept in the public sector. And in 2008... there was a report produced by all the major UK public sector audit agencies, and that included the National Audit Office and the Audit Commission, National Audit Office responsible for central government, Audit Commission responsible for local government, and also the local country audit organisations, so Audit Scotland, the Welsh Audit Office, and the Northern Ireland Audit Office. Those five organisations got together to produce a report. The aim of the report was to develop specific value for money indicators over five core functions which all public sector organisations would have. And the indicators were based on a small, high-level set of indicators plus some more detailed indicators for those who wanted to drill down. So the idea was to create a template of indicators for people who were doing value for money audits. So instead of sort of guessing at the things that they would need to measure, here was some ideas of what needed to be measured that were produced by this report. So following on from this, the indicators that were produced, first of all, they were voluntary. There's no legislation requiring you to use them, but of course they would represent best practice. And like a lot of things that are voluntary, they're in reality really mandatory. If you want to do a good job, you'd follow these rules. The recommendation is that any public sector organisation with over 250 employees follows them. So that's a way of measuring the size of organisation you are, rather than in financial terms, measure it on the number of employees. And six organisations, including CIPFA, that's the Chartered Institute of Public Finance Accountants, supported the project by developing detailed measurement tools. The five core functions that these value for money indicators were developed for were the areas of finance, the finance team, human resources, secondly, thirdly, information and communication technology team, fourthly, estates and management, and fifthly, procurement. So those are the five core support functions in any public sector organisation. And CIPFA developed their own version of these value for money indicators. So I'm just going to focus on those. These are a good set of indicators to follow. So they developed their own VFM indicators, as they were known, value for money indicators. And they actually added two other core areas that these value for money indicators were over. So as well as the first five that I mentioned, they also have value for money indicators for legal and communications teams as well. And some examples of CIPFA's value for money indicators, first of all, over communications. This is just examples. So one of the things to track in value for money is total employee costs. That's an input or economy indicator, isn't it? And then another one was total costs as a percentage of organization total costs. So total employee costs as a percentage of total organization employee costs. Another one was professional staff as a percentage of total staff. So looking at the balance, the efficiency of professional staff to total staff. And also they recommend a questionnaire, certain questions to ask to internal clients about how well the function met the user's expectation. So some of those things can be measured objectively, where you're, for example, comparing headcount of professional staff to total staff. And some of them are a bit more objective, where you use the questionnaire to assess the effectiveness there. And then another example is in the area of procurement, again from SIPFA's Value for Money Indicators. So a couple of indicators that they would recommend would be comparing pre and post tender costs. So that's an effectiveness measure, isn't it? If the procurement department are doing their job properly, then the pre-tender costs would presumably be higher than the post-tender costs, and their involvement has therefore been successful. So that's an output or effectiveness measure there. Another one might be comparing the percentage of purchases made through the procurement team, maybe this year compared to previous years. Again, that's an effectiveness measure, because if the procurement team is successful, then departments will want to come through them because they'll know that they can get better deals for them. Whereas if the procurement team is not seen as being effective, then people will avoid using them for their procurement decisions. And the last one on procurement as an example would be, again, this idea of sending out questions to users to ask them about the quality of the goods procured, because the big concern with procurement is that they may buy things at cheaper prices but actually source poorer quality products than the direct user would have sourced. So that's, again, another effectiveness measure. And again, a subjective one, that last one, by asking people whether or not what the quality was like, quite a subjective input there. So there's some examples of SIPFA's value for money indicators. Value for money is a vital tool in assessing how well public sector organisations have performed. They don't have the discipline of the profit motivation. And so in order to both control spending and achieve the outputs that are required, the value for money measures are very useful. The problem, I suppose, has been in the past, historically, going back years, that there was no structured approach to this. Good value for money auditors would have done a great job and others wouldn't have done. But now useful tools and guidance do exist, and one organisation that's got a template for assessing value for money is SIPFA. So you could just download that one and start doing value for money audits that you know are going to be structured and comprehensive. It's worth pointing out, though, that there is still some subjectivity, particularly when you try and assess value for money in terms of its effectiveness, because effectiveness is all about achieving your aims, and often you'll assess that by asking people questions. And finally, I suppose I should say that value for money tools and value for money indicators are also useful tools that can be used in the private sector as well. They're not just things that relate to the public sector. A lot of private sector organisations do themselves become very similar to public sector organisations and quite bureaucratic and quite lost in whether they're achieving their aims and their outputs, particularly down at the departmental level. So value for money audits can also be helpful there. But we were focusing primarily on the public sector and looking at how value for money affects the public sector. That's all for now. Thanks very much for listening. My name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. I hope this has been useful for you, and I hope to speak to you again. Thank you. Bye-bye.